John chapter number 4. Now we'll sound dignified in John chapter number 4. If you remember, Christ is having a conversation with a woman at the well. And we're going to pick it up in verse 25, just for kind of sake of review. The Bible says in John chapter number 4 and verse 25, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." And you remember, as we looked at this verse, this is kind of, she's made a number of arguments, a religious argument. This argument here is the postponement. We see this oftentimes when dealing with people about the Lord. Hey, there is some urgency in making a decision for Christ. And so oftentimes, you know what, I'll do that a little bit later down the road. I'm kind of in a stage of life where I don't really, don't want God too involved in my life. Yesterday we went to a door-to-door a little bit and knocked on some doors and met some really nice people. And a couple times, I'm all set, you can keep going. What was that? You know what, when I need it, I'll come let you know. Man, I wish people understood how bad they need the Lord and where they're at with that. And this woman said pretty much that phrase, we know that the Messiah is coming and he's going to be called Christ. And when he shows up, we'll get things squared away. I believe what you're saying, but I'll wait for the Messiah. As she talks to Jesus, right? I mean, interesting conversation. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee am he. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, as we said this morning, God, thank you for those one-on-one conversations that you've had. God, thank you for the time that, Lord, just had between me and you. And God, as we read through this passage, I'm just reminded of those special times together. And Lord, I pray as we look at this passage here again, we'll take some truths out of it and be able to make application to our own life. But God, thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for coming to us. And thank you for dying for us. Thank you for, as the song just said, thank you for saving our soul. God, we need you. We need you so much. God, again, thank you that you're available. We love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She says, you know what, I'm going to wait till the Messiah. I'm going to wait till Christ shows up. And he says, that's me. If you remember when he was in the garden and he spoke those things, they said, are you Jesus? And he says, I am. And man, they just fall backwards at the power of those words. I wonder if there was something simple, she's standing by the side, he's sitting by the well, and he says that, and she just sits down for a second and just processes that. Well, who have I been talking to? And upon this came verse 27, and upon this came his disciples. And I remember the disciples were in town in the market. What were they doing? They were getting dinner. So they left Jesus alone there, and he was sitting by the well, and he started this conversation. He's had a long conversation. As they're coming up, the Bible says in verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? It was a kind of a strange situation to them. This was a Samaritan woman. Again, a people that the Jews and the Samaritans did not interact well together. They did not think highly of either of each other. Actually, they thought pretty low of either of each other. And so when the disciples come up and they see Jesus interacting with this woman, understanding of who she is and maybe a little bit of her background, they were kind of scratching their heads a little bit. Hey, what's going on here? As we continue now our passage and we pick up where we left off, we'll start in verse 28. The Bible says, and the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. So as the disciples are coming, this woman is leaving the conversation. They kind of pass on the way, maybe make eye contact, right? And glare or a look back and forth. Now, verse 28 to me is a significant verse. So why so? Well, Christ started a conversation. Go back to chapter 4 and look at verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Should be very close to this. Maybe same page. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Jesus starts a conversation with her. What she thinks is about water. She thinks we're talking about water. Almost you're at the restaurant. The first thing that they come over to do after they seat you is, can I get you some water? Can I get you a drink? And before I take any of your orders, before we talk about appetizers or the specials of the day, let me get you something to drink. And it's kind of she's thinking that's the conversation. Well, through that conversation, Christ quickly goes from the physical conversation of the water to a spiritual conversation. But she's not quite keeping up with that. I had the Abby's in the nursery at about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes before we have to leave for church. Abby says, Dad, can you help me with my science homework? Well, Sunday afternoon, right before we leave for church, is not a good time to be sitting down doing science homework. But I said, all right, I said, well, why not? Why are we waiting till now? And she says, well, it's been nice out this weekend, which we all maybe have neglected some important responsibilities of our own due to the nice weather, to which I said, okay, go get your stuff. I understand. So there we were, and we are talking Doppler effect. Say, what is that? That is science. And if you don't know that, really cool, kind of neat, lot to it. As I'm talking to her about that, I'm asking questions, and I'm not quite at all the moments feeling like there's a connection, if you understand what I'm saying. And Jesus here is having this conversation with this woman. He's talking about, he says, I have water that I could offer you that you'll never thirst again. She's like, oh, give me that. That would be great, so I don't have to go to this stinking well every single day and try and yank up water. If you're familiar, water's heavy. 1 gallon of water weighs just over 8 pounds. And if you do that over and over again, well, you'll be in good shape. But if there was an opportunity to have endless water without having, and she says, oh, give me that. He quickly takes the conversation, and he's like, go call your husband. She says, sir, I don't even have a husband. He goes, thou hast truly said, thou hast had 5 husbands, and the man that you're with right now is not even thy husband. She's like, whoa, what just happened here? A moment ago, she was calling him a Jew. Now she calls him a prophet. And now he says, hey, you need to worship the Lord. And she says, you know, I'll take care of this when Jesus shows up, when the Christ shows up, when the Messiah shows up. And he says, I am he. And all of a sudden she's like, whoa. And the Bible says this, and I know it's just the phrasing of the wording, but to me it's a significant impact. Verse 28, when it says she left her water pot, to me it says this, she made the transition. She understood that he wasn't talking about physical water. Now, I understand the real life, what's happening here. She's going into town to tell everybody she found the Messiah. Now, if you've had to carry anything, it's a lot easier to go quickly from point A to point B with not having to carry water. I understand the practical application of what's happening here. She's going into town. She's running to get her friends. She's telling other people, I have found the Messiah, and she's going to bring people to him. And so she says, you know what? I don't need this water pot right now. I'll be right back. I understand physically that's what's happening, but spiritually, when it says the woman, why did it say she left her water pot? Why didn't it just say she went into town? Why make mention of that? Because in my mind, somehow, some way, as he started talking about the physical water, give me to drink, and he's talking about himself and eternal life, finally she gets over to this point, and she left the water pot, the physical part, and got a hold of the spiritual. She made the connection. So how do you know? By her conversation after that. Yes, naturally, she left it to run into town, but spiritually, the transition of not talking about water anymore. And her immediate desire was to what? Go tell somebody else. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. Here she goes into the city and says, look at what I found. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So here's what's happening. Jesus is having a conversation with the woman at the well. The disciples show up with dinner. Meat. Oh, man. Meat right out of a fresh market. Some of the best eats I've ever had was there we were in Trinidad. We'd go, and they'd have these, I don't know, food trucks, and you're walking around with these things, and they were so great. Just great street food. Here they were in the market. They're coming back with some meat. Smelling good. It's hot. It's got seasoning and Dippin's and Dunkin's and all that stuff. Master, eat. And as they're coming up, the woman's passing them, going into town, going to get the guys. And while she's going into town, it tells us Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. Now, again, in lieu of everything that we just talked about, he's going to quickly go from physical to spiritual conversation. He says this, and as she goes into town, it says, come see a man. Man, again, already she has a testimony. When she found the Lord Jesus Christ, she says, I found the Messiah. I need to share this with somebody. That should be our desire. It's not, hey, I found this great thing. I'm just going to keep it for myself. Christianity, salvation isn't selfish. There's enough for everybody. There's enough for Jesus to go around. Well, again, what a great example to us. We cannot see the spiritual needs of others, but we do know this. We know a man who can. I don't know necessarily how to just bring people to Jesus. That's what people need. And hold your hand here real quick and go back to John chapter number 1. If you remember this. This one, I know I say this a lot, but this is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures. John chapter 1, the John chapter 4 part. John chapter number 1 in verse 41. He findeth, verse 40, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Hey, if Samuel finds something great, you know who he's telling? Hopefully he'll tell his dad, but he'll go and tell his brother. Hey, Joe, come here, look at this. Look at what I found. Even better, they found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Again, what are they doing? They're finding the Messiah, and they immediately, what is their response? I'm gonna go tell somebody. I'm gonna bring somebody else to this. This is too good to be true. This is wonderful. This is what we've been waiting for. Well, the woman at the well was no different. Come see a man. Look at Revelation chapter number 22. I understand all of that sun this weekend that we haven't seen in about 6 months. Warm weather is catching up with us. And I know you're maybe you did a little much, and that sun life, and it just zapped you out. But do your best to pay attention and follow along, and I think you'll get a blessing at the end of the night. Revelation 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride, what do they say? they say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will take the water of life freely. Sounds a lot like John chapter number 4. Hey, come here. I found the one that's going to give us to satisfy our thirsty soul. Our thirsty soul. So while she's going to get others, Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples. They show up and they say, Master, eat. And look at the response. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And this is John chapter number 4 and verse 32. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? So they're like, here, Master, look at this great food that we just got. We got this for you. And they're like, eat it. And he's like, oh, I have food very similar. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And then they ask themselves the question, well, who fed the Master already? Maybe he got food from the lady. Maybe they don't understand that he's, first of all, he's talking to the woman. Hey, there's a thirsting here that I can satisfy. There's a hunger Christ can satisfy that only he can satisfy. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Who's that? That's speaking of the Father. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, he says this, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Can you, I don't know, just the natural person sitting here having this conversation, would you be scratching your head? I would, Roger, I would. I mean, we get on the disciples for like, how didn't you know he was going to rise again? But could you imagine this conversation? They go into town to get food. They bring dinner back. McDonald's, here we go, 2 bags, right? And they bring it and they say, here. And he's like, I have meat that you know not of. And they're like, oh, he must have eaten. And he says, look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Do you think they're sitting there thinking, what is he talking about? Are we eating or aren't we? Is it dinner time or not? I'd be confused. Now we know what he's talking about. But could you imagine sitting there at the moment, just kind of looking around going, what on earth? Oftentimes in the scriptures, we see a correlation, a comparison between farming and demonstrating soul winning. Plowing is the preaching of the word of God. Sowing is spreading out the word, right? Planting is creating a place for people to grow in the Lord. Watering, that's the Holy Spirit ministering in the power of prayer. And then we see reaping. When he says here, reaping, what is that? In verse 36, he that reapeth. What is reaping? A crop, you take the seed, you first prepare the field. That's done by plowing. That's hard work. If you've ever done farming and ever had to run a rototiller, and imagine doing that before a rototiller and all of that, and preparing the ground and getting that ground good, and then planting the seed. That's distributing, that's the word of God getting in there. And then a little bit of watering here and there. And over time, that thing grows. And then there's fruit on that, whether it's fruit or, oh, you understand when I say fruit, not just apples and things, but a yield. And then someone's got to come through and pick it all. And he says, hey, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He says, there's people ready. He's referencing the woman that he just talked with. When she came to that conversation, she was a little hard. She'd had a hard life. She was a little on edge. She was a little racially charged, if you will. But he was able to see way past that and saw her soul. And he says, hey, it's white already. It's ready right now. The crops are ready right now. Hey, souls are ready right now. Look at Luke chapter number 10. Parallel passages to this or similar thoughts. Luke chapter number 10, but each with its own little added information. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Look at verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He's saying, hey, I want you to go out. I want you to go reap that. I want you to go work on the souls of men and bring them to me. I want you to go out and tell other people about me. But he says, he gives this adage. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Well, we've all seen National Geographic, how that goes. The lamb doesn't get away. It's a pack of wolves. An innocent and delicious little lamb. That's what happens. They have no defense. They're not quick. And to their detriment, they're tasty. And the wolves are hungry. And he says, that's what I'm sending you out like. Well, may I just say, that's not the odds I want to go up against. It's like saying, I'm going to send you out as ants among giants. That could be squished easily. I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. I'm not sure I like that. Can I show you just a verse? Look at verse 17 of that same chapter. The Bible says this. As he sent the lambs out among wolves, look at verse chapter 10 and verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Not one casualty. 70 lambs got sent out amongst packs of wolves, and not one came back harmed. That's good to know that God can protect. Isn't it a blessing there? And through the power of God, you can, according to Hebrews chapter 11, subdue kingdoms. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Wolves among lambs. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. The problem isn't a lack of harvest. The problem is a lack of workers. And I wonder how much of our prayer time is allowing the Lord or mentioning to the Lord, I'd be willing to go and harvest the souls of men. I'd be willing to go and be a soul winner. I'd be willing to go, God put me in a field, and I'd work it. He says it's not for lack of harvest. The problem is, we don't have enough laborers. How about you tonight? Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't save anybody, but you certainly could bring someone to Jesus like this woman did. John chapter number 4 and verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Do you see how he's talking about both things at the same time? They understood farming. They understood agriculture. This was the type of society that they were in. And when he says that they receiveth wages, they understand that. You work and you earn a wage. Well, that reaping is soul winning. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Hey, the things that we're trying to reach people for the cause of Christ isn't just going to make life better. It's going to make eternity secure. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Isn't that true? Hey, it's a great blessing to be able to share your testimony and share what God has done in your life and share the gospel with somebody. Hey, that's a real blessing. That encourages your heart. You knock on someone's door and they give you the time of day. Man, that is a blessing, I'm telling you. Hey, tell me what you got there. Oh, what? You're not telling me you're all set, you're all good for today? You got to go to pick up a kid or something like that? You want to actually hear about the Lord? Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, man. Man, that just, and then to help someone come to Christ, there's rejoicing in that. Look at James chapter number 5. We'll look at a couple verses here. I know what you're all thinking. How far in this passage of John are we going? Is that what you're thinking, Samuel? Yeah. It's for me to know, you to find out. No. James chapter number 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you, hold on. Yeah, James 5, 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Hey, that's something to rejoice over. Both for that one that help somebody, and that one that got help through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. Yes, it takes some wisdom, but it is a wise investment of your time and efforts. In Philippians chapter number 2, in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Hey, understand that you're going out as lambs amongst wolves. Hey, you're going out in a crooked and perverse nation. They think backward. They think contrary to the word of God. We don't even have to get into how backward this world is from the things of God. That's why they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are public officials making laws contrary to the word of God? Because they need God in their life. Why are local educators making policies that are contrary to the word of God? Because they don't have the word of God in their life. They don't know Jesus. That's where we live. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This has been going on for the last 2,000 years. Nothing strange of it today. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hey, your efforts and reaping and going out and telling others about the Lord, hey, one day that's all going to be worthwhile. You're going to cross over into glory and you're going to walk into eternity. And there may be souls there because of your faithful service to God. And there will be rejoicing over that. To know that you have not run in vain. Hey, sometimes in the Christian life it feels like it, doesn't it? Hey, what am I doing here? Is this even working? And sometimes the Lord just gives us a little handful of purpose, Benjamin. So what does that mean? It's just a little bit to encourage you to keep going on. But I promise you, as the Bible promises here, there will be rejoicing in that day of Christ, knowing that you've served him and your labor was not in vain. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Go back to John chapter number 4. So Christ is having this conversation with his disciples as the woman is in town telling her friend. Verse 37. And herein is a true saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Isn't that so true? And look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Chances are really good if you get an opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, someone else has done some work before you got there. Someone planted a seed, someone watered a seed, someone has been a faithful witness, encouraging them. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, you just jump in on someone else's labor. You're just there reaping, but you didn't plow, you didn't plant, you didn't water, you didn't cultivate, you didn't weed. You just show up and you just reap the harvest, which is fine, he says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but look at this. But God that giveth the increase. Hey, it wasn't the work of Apollos or Paul or anybody. It was God that worked. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. You know what that tells me? Hey, you're a faithful witness. You hand out a gospel tract and you come by and say, sir, can I give you one of these to read? This will really help you out. No, I don't want my receipt. I'm all good, but here you go. And then this guy comes over and he says, hey, I noticed that customer gave you a tract there. I go to church and I could explain that to you. At break, how about we talk about that? And he gets to do that, and then he goes home and he says, you would not believe my day. This guy gave me this thing, and then my buddy next to me was telling me about it, and it's kind of like what you and Dad have been telling me about. Can I go to church with you this week? And then he comes walking into the church house and still just kind of scratching his head going, man, what is that thing about salvation and sin? And the preacher preaches, and then the person comes forward and asks the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. Say, who gets the reward? All of them do. That's what it says. They're all rejoicing. They all receive something. God honors all of that. Hey, whether you plant it or water it or got to reap it, everybody gets in on it. Man, praise the Lord. It's worthwhile. You may get the process started, but another may reap the fruit. And that is okay by me. In John chapter number 4. Just a few more verses. Verse 39. And one of the Samaritans of the city, In verse 38, it says, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. In verse 38. Other men labored and ye are entered into the labors. Now here come the Samaritans. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Again, let's look back just quickly for a second. Think about this woman's track record. She's been with a lot of guys. And all of a sudden, she comes in a little bit different. And she goes to the men of the city. And the Bible says that many believed on Jesus for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now we have the conversation, but he certainly reveals himself and undoes this woman pretty quickly. A changed life has a great impact on those that they're around. You get saved and you go back to the workplace and all of a sudden you're acting different and talking different and Christ is beginning to work through you from the inside out. All of a sudden you say, no, guys, I'm sorry, I can't go out this week. I'm going to church on Sunday. You're going to church? You? Yeah. That old man is gone. And now I have a new life. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's look there quickly. Ephesians 4 in verse 20. Ephesians 4:22. I want you to understand how important your personal testimony is. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You go out in corruption and you come in, what? In righteousness and true holiness. Oh, that's going to look different. That's going to sound different. That's going to respond different. I don't know if that woman walks into that city and all of a sudden the guys start making some obscene calls and gestures to her. And she says, let me tell you what I just found. All of a sudden she's serious. She's not fleshly. All of a sudden she's spiritual. And because of her testimony, say, oh, I'm a mess. I could never do anything for the Lord. He used her. And there were many Samaritans that believed on Jesus because of her words. John chapter number 4, as we conclude tonight, last two verses. John chapter number 4 and verse 41. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And they were just, remember, I must needs go through Samaria. All of a sudden, it's a 3-day trip. Hey, be careful that you get so caught up with your schedule that when God does a work that you don't see that and you adjust. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. In verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Many Samaritans were, number one, won by this woman's testimony. Many Samaritans were brought to Jesus by this woman's testimony. Your testimony is one of the most effective tools that you'll have in soul winning. So tell your story. She went in and said, he told me all about me. We started talking about water. I thought we were talking about water. And then by the end of the conversation, he reveals himself as the Messiah. What's your story? What's your story? How did you come to Christ? When was the last time you ran back into the city to tell them that you had met the Messiah? You can't save anyone, but you certainly can bring people to Jesus. Bible says that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. He made this world. And to create it, he took something, he made something out of nothing. All he did was have to speak it. I love that. And he made the stars also. Mrs. Aldred, I don't even know what that means. Like, I know what it means, but I can't even comprehend it. There's so many stars. And he just, there they are. No, you move over a little bit. No, you're over there a little bit. He simply put them out there. Then he creates man, and he takes this dust of the ground, the most worthless thing in this whole entire universe, dust and clay, and he breathes into it, and all of a sudden it's a man, it's a human. Sounds pretty easy. Save and create this world, but to save it? To be the Savior of the world, you know what he had to do? Oh, that. He made the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh. When we look at that Passion Week of Christ, that week was a little bit different than Creation Week. He had to crucify his own son. To be the Savior of the world, Christ would be crucified for you and I. This indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Is he your Savior tonight? Are you willing to share your story with others? Tomorrow's Monday. Back at the grind. Maybe your alarm clocks go off early. Maybe you get to work from home. I don't know. But many people believed on Christ because someone shared their testimony. Always be willing to share your testimony. Years ago, we had the opportunity to be with Brother Burton Gates. Brother Gates is the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he's in a bad part of town. And we'll go knocking on doors with him, and I was paired up with him, and shakes those metal cages on the outside of the doors. People come to the door strung out. Let me tell you my story. I was an addict just like you, and he just calls it right out. And then Jesus came into my life. He just tells his testimony right at the door. He's preaching to him. When was the last time you shared your testimony? Let's all stand. It's not for lack of harvest. Christ tells us it's for the lack of workers. Could you be faithful? If anything, tonight the scripture reminded us of again, you don't have to be qualified. She had no Bible degree. She just met Jesus, and it was real to her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you, as again the song was sung, thank you for saving our soul. God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you to any degree. Lord, I pray that as we go out this week, God, you'd be honored and glorified with our life. God, help us to see the opportunities that you bring to us to share our story and share the gospel with somebody. Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray you'd meet our needs in the ways that only you can. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.